بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When something doesn't work out for us, and we become restless, we will adopt the means and the avenues that are normally adopted. If it is that someone is not feeling well, we will administer medication, we will do some tawiz, we will engage a specialist, we will make dua. So whatever avenues have to be adopted, we will adopt all the avenues. And then too, when we see that things aren't working out, we become uneasy. Ibn Atta Iskandari Rahmatullahi, he writes that there's no point in you becoming restless. You don't have to become uneasy, nor do you have to become restless. Because the gifts of Allah Ta'ala are ever present. They're here, they're by you. They are never absent, they are never a distant way. They are with you always. So the question is then, if the gifts are ever present, then why aren't you enjoying them? You aren't enjoying them because you're not totally focused in that direction. If you have complete focus in Allah Ta'ala, then you will get that. Now for complete focus, what does it mean? It means in the way that your mind and your heart need to be turned towards Allah Ta'ala, your heart and your mind must be turned. What is meant by your heart being turned? Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi gives a story. He says that there was a widespread drought, and people had gathered together with the Nabi for istisqa, dua for rain. Right? So they're crying, they're pleading to Allah Ta'ala. And after some time, the wahi came to the Nabi that even if your tears dry out and your tears cause plants to grow, but you aren't going to get rain on this occasion. So the Nabi asked Allah Ta'ala, if we know the reason why the rains are being withheld, then we will correct ourselves. So Allah Ta'ala answered us that there is someone that is carrying tales. So this is a serious guna, carrying tales one person to the other. Shirar, the hadith says, Shiraru ibadillah, worse servants. Al masha'una bin namima, the ones that carry tales, they are the worst servants. Al ba'una al bura al anat, those that make false allegations. Innocent people, and they make false allegations against them. Al-mufarriquna bayna al-ahibba, and they sow discord within friends. If you're enjoying a friendship with a certain person, all I have to do is tell that person, this person, this is what he talks about you. That's all I have to say. Say that this is what he says about you. He doesn't like you. doubt must just be infused in your mind. He doesn't like you. He doesn't care for you. He prefers others to you. Now, all your life you love the person, and this person just has to inject this type of a doubt in your mind. This person doesn't like you. Right? When he injects the doubt, now you have to get one thing just to support you. Just one thing to support you, and there you will endorse it. See, what that person says is right. He said this, and I've got some support for this as well. So what he said is 100%, that he doesn't like me. Now, that person that is carrying this type of a tale, what has he done? He has mesmerized you. He has brainwashed you. He's brainwashed you. One message, and he's brainwashed you. Mind has taken a turn. Just now you like the person, and now you just hate the person. But anything he says, and your mind is just turned away. Whatever he says, whatever he does, your mind has just turned away because of that one message that this person had carried. So it seemed like a very small sin, but really its effects are destructive, very, very destructive. There must be a reason why Allah himself cautions us, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن, with many doubts. Just avoid the suspicions. When I look around in this day and time, then most of our problems are suspicions and doubts. Something happens and that triggers our suspicion. And then you must find some factors to support that suspicion, and then there's a confirmation on that. So many occasions, we need to understand that this doubt and suspicion is bringing so much of destruction, so much of destruction. Now, in this doubts and suspicions, there are about 6-7 levels. At one level, it is compulsory. لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. At the one level, it is compulsory to have a high regard, high opinion of Allah Ta'ala. When you talk of zan here, then what do you mean, what do you refer to when you say the word zan? Because the Quran uses the word zan for different reasons. أَلَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. So there you can't see they have a gumaan, they have a thought, or they have an opinion. There you will say it's yaqeen. So in this context, when Allah Ta'ala uses the word, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. And here it is something that is not verified, right? When you said, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله تعالى. So why do you say it is not confirmed? In other words, with regards to yourself specifically, there is no textual proof to say that you are going to be favored by Allah. If you got any textual proof for you specifically for you, that you're going to be favored. Right? You don't have any textual proof. Textual proof, in Urdu you'll say nas. Right? You have any nas to say, like for example, you are Ismail. Ismail is going to get favored by Allah Ta'ala on this day. You don't have any textual proof. In spite of you not having any textual proof, Allah wants you to have that opinion of Him, that He will see me well, He will favor me, He will look at me well. And so the contrary will be impermissible, be haram. It will be compulsory to have a good regard of good opinion of Allah Ta'ala, and the contrary or the opposite will be haram. Like a person has the opinion, yeah, Allah just wants to punish me. He's just striking in prime time. Anyway, I'm just going up and then he just strikes me down. I'm just going up and he strikes me down. So to have the opposite then becomes haram. And to have the opinion that he is going to look at me favorably, that becomes compulsory. And to have the opposite opinion of Allah Ta'ala, that is haram, impermissible. Because this will grow, and you begin to feel, whatever I'm doing, you know, Allah Ta'ala is just, he's not just looking at me favorably, doesn't like me. Nothing is working out for me. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't like me. Now, when you are looking at Allah Ta'ala like that, then everything won't work for you. Because the hadith says so, that Allah Ta'ala treats you how you think of him. You think of him in a certain way, then he will treat you in that way. When you think wrong of Allah Ta'ala, then he will treat you in that way as well. So the right is, you make some effort, not that you don't do the effort, you do some effort, whether it is worldly, whether it is deeni, you do the effort, and with that effort, then you have opinions of Allah Ta'ala. You are a farmer, so you plant your seeds, you dig the furrows, you plant the seeds, you water, irrigate, do the necessary, and with that, then you ask Allah Ta'ala. So now this is high opinion, this is high regards. Also foolish that you don't do anything, didn't do anything on the farm, and you're expecting things to grow. Nothing, no work, no effort at all, nothing. No furrows, no seeds, no irrigation, no fertilizer, nothing, absolutely nothing, and you want things to grow, things to happen. So in the words of the hadith, that is wrong. وَهُوَ يَتَمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ ہاتھ کو توڑ کر کے بیٹھ گیا. He left all the effort and he asked Allah Ta'ala. So that's wrong. وَالْكَيِّسُ مَنْ دَانَ نَفْسَهُ وَأَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And Al-Ajiz, what's this? And وَتَمَنَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ and أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا. That he just allows himself the free run to temptations. He allows himself the freedom to temptations, freedom. And then he hopes in Allah Ta'ala. So he doesn't make any effort. When you say he allows himself the free run, the freedom to temptations he allows. So that means no efforts. And no efforts, then he's having opinion of Allah Ta'ala. That's wrong. Ajiz is a failure. Ajiz is a failure. He gives himself the freedom and then he hopes in Allah Ta'ala. That's wrong. Now, if he was a shopkeeper, then he must open his shop, right? And he doesn't open the shop, and he feels that that money will just pour in. Or he opens the shop at the wrong time. Right? He's supposed to be opening the shop from 8 to 5, right? So he goes and opens his shop at 1 o'clock in the morning. Right? So he's again an ajiz. Why? That he did something, but he didn't do it according to how it's supposed to be done, right? Ajizu man adba nafsahu hawa. He gave his nafs the freedom and then he's hoping in Allah Ta'ala. So there what you will say, he's stupid, he's mad. What is he doing? And he's supposed to open the shop, he's not opening the shop. And when the shop is supposed to be closed, then he's opening the shop. So he's adopting the wrong means. So not adopting the means and adopting the wrong means, also both are not right. See? Not adopting the means and adopting the wrong means also is not right. One is a karamat and one is a mu'jiza. A mu'jiza or a karamat is not a rule. The Rasulullah Paksa is migrating, he's making hijrat, so he scooped some sand and he threw it, right? And it blinded all those kuffar that were there attempting to murder, right? Attempting to assassinate him, and he scooped, and everybody got blinded. So you can't say now, I must do the same. You know, if I need to go into the battlefield, I must just scoop sand and just throw around everybody, and everybody will get blinded. You can't say that. Why? This was a mu'jiza. It was something specific, exclusive to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't use that as a general. Can't generalize. There you will take your necessary precaution. Adopting the means, it's the command of Allah Ta'ala, khudhu hidrakum. Isn't it the command of Allah Ta'ala? Adopt your means. take your precautions. So the one level of opinions, I say, is compulsory. You must. Right? So the right opinion, the right regards, the right feeling of Allah Ta'ala, that's compulsory. And to have the wrong feelings, the wrong idea, wrong opinion of Allah Ta'ala, that becomes haram. See that this is now farz, and that becomes haram. Then a second level of opinion is with people, right? So the opinion we need to have with the Muslims is zunnu bil mu'minina khayra. Though this is not the wording of hadith, but it comes under the meaning of hadith or under the ayat of the Quran, though it's not exactly the wording of the hadith. When I say it's coming under the meaning of some ayat of the Quran, لَوْلَا إِسْسَمِعْتُمُهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Get any information about your brethren, then what is supposed to be your response? Your response is that you must have good regards for your brother. My brother is in Allah. قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنَّ تَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. See, what you must say? قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَنَّ تَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. It's not right for us to talk about this. When you heard about this, see? Now, here we get caught up when it's a dear, near one. It's a near, near, dear friend, friend, bosom friend, no? Langota dost, Dakkan friend. Right? Some words are supposed to be said at certain, on certain occasions, not everywhere. Now, a napkin can be a tissue also, you can call it a napkin, right? But now you're eating and you want tissues, once you get some napkins, when you say that, so some istilahat have to be learned, right? Sometimes you travel and then someone uses this word here, and say, hey, how did he use the word? So that word may be right, but it's not supposed to be used. In India, it's normal that when someone died, they said, oh, expired ho gaya. Now, that's not the right word. So you get a bit amused when someone says that, right? Sometimes something is at some spot, then they say, it's on the backside. No, it's not they don't know what they're using. They're not seeing it with the meaning that we have in our mind. But it's not rightly used, right? It's not rightly used. So you can't laugh at them. And he's talking as if you don't have to laugh at them. I'm cautioning you. Why? Because now you start laughing. It's not right. So they don't know what they're talking about. They feel it's right. Literally, it's not wrong, right? But the usage is for something else. So the usage is for something else, you mustn't laugh. Because if you just turn the thing around and you're trying to speak Gujarati and you made a mistake. Yeah? And how those people laugh at you? So one, there was an old lady, so she's telling her grandchildren, by tamoko Gujarati vat karo, speaking Gujarati. So now that person, the youngster, is trying now to speak Gujarati. So granny asked them, tamme cha pidi, you drank tea. So he turns around and says, upi delo che. Now, that pidola say means you're drunken. Now, they can also catch a laugh of you also. How you laughing them. In taskharu minna, fa inna naskharu minkum. Fa sawfa ta'lamu. You laugh and someone else can laugh at you again. So, trying and he's trying. When he went off, you correct him. You correct him that this is how it's supposed to be said. Not like this, but don't laugh at that person. That traveling and suffer can be a big learner, but you must keep your mind open, heart open, try and understand, see things. And you learn a lot. Then people like to travel with you. Because when they travel with you, then they learn. You learn and they learn. But now everything, abusing yourself, putting someone down, running someone down, then this is not a behavior of a mu'min. How should that person feel? you laughed at someone, you labeled someone, you made a name for someone. You know, how does that person feel? Does he feel nice? You put yourself in that position. If they labeled you, they caught, they kept some name for you, how would you have felt? Or like you will feel disgraced and embarrassed. That person also feels the same. You are something too special that they can must only respect you and they mustn't respect that person. So like you want to be respected, that person also wants to be respected. You like to be spoken to well, then he also likes the same. Now the simple things we need to understand. So in the suffer, there can be a lot of things that you can learn. It is that you must keep your eyes open, keep your mind open, try and understand, see things well. Then you will definitely progress. But now you shut your mind, you got one tracked mind, narrow vision, tunnel vision you've got. Now how do you expect to open up? How do you expect to learn? So as they say, that with your sheikh you learn a lot. But Hazrat used to keep saying this, talab as-sadiq ma'al fikr. You need to be true, and you need to have the fikr. You need to be true, and you need to be concerned, focused. When you say fikr, you must be focused. You must be focused and you must be true as well. Sincere and focused. If you're sincere and focused, then you learn. Or you're not focused, or you're not completely sincere. Okay, sometimes you're sincere and then you're not sincere. Other times, how are you going to learn? Okay? Previously, when people used to be with their mashayikh, then they'll observe, they'll take notice what's happening, what's not happening. Imam Bukhari sahab, I'm just looking a little bit of his halat, you know. So, there was an inn that was being built in, like how we have hotels now. More simpler version of a hotel. So, outside Bukhara somewhere, perhaps, there was an inn that was being built. So, he was taking those bricks himself, carrying the bricks on his shoulder and transporting it. So someone objected, some of the students perhaps said, you don't do this, we will do it. He says, Haza al-lazi yanfa'una. This type of work will benefit us. So Bukhari sahab rahmatullahi was an ajeeb man. To me, when I little look at his halat, he concealed himself. Kept himself a low profile, concealed himself, and Allah Ta'ala exposed him. See, when you conceal yourself, that means when you conceal yourself sincerely, not concealing yourself to be exposed, you see. One is you're concealing yourself that you can get exposed. One is he wants to be Mr. Nobody. He wants to be Mr. Nobody, just doing himself. Actually, what Imam Bukhari sahab must have been doing, in my mind, is he's carrying out a sunnah of the building of the Masjid an-Nabawi. Kana al-Ansar wal-Muhajirun yanqulun. Is to carry the bricks, etc., the stones, etc., to erect the masjid. You are carrying the bricks. Ibrahim al-Islam again, both me and Ismail Islam are erecting, the carrying the stones. Right? So he must have thought to himself that this carrying the bricks was also a sunnah of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ansar, and the Muhajirin. There's an occasion here, I must do it. Right? But now he said it in a very simple way, Hadha al-Ladhi yanfa'una. He wanted to jump to us. Hey, you know what? Today I'm practicing now what the Ansar and the Sahaba did. He wanted to just make it like a very simple thing of doing this. So, to me, it seems that this man was hiding himself. He was concealing himself. He wasn't advertising himself. He was doing very, very low profile. Muhammad bin Ismail. He was very, very to himself. Nobody knows what he's doing. But his ambitions are very high. His ambitions and his goals are very high. Though nobody knows what he's doing. Nobody knows. But his ambitions are very high. Right? Where I explained, you know, that he was practicing archery. So there again, it's because of a hadith. Irmu warkabu. Irmu warkabu. Right? That you must mount the animal and practice archery. Practice archery and also ride. Ride and practice archery. So he practiced it so well that they say that in his life, only once or twice he missed the target. Just Now, in that zamana, there wasn't that binoculars, whatever else. And the man is practicing. And now he says, I must get the hadith, you know. Irmu warkabu. So, in his whole lifetime, once or twice he missed it. And he got the target all the time. You know, now this is a person that is with Imam Bukhari Sabram, he's reporting. When he's reporting now he's observing. Now, this is my ustad, my sheikh. And I need to observe him very well. I need to observe, I need to learn. So this is how we're supposed to be. We are with our elders. We are staying, we are traveling. Doesn't mean only whilst we are traveling, even whilst we are staying. And the ustad and the sheikh also needs to be very careful of himself, that how does he practice the sunnah. Because he needs to be watched. They need to emulate him. The ustad is going to be for a short time. The sheikh is going to be for a short time. And you're going to move, he's going to move, right? Either way, both are going to move. So when they are short, then they need to be very particular about themselves, that their action, their behavior must be a lesson, must be an instruction, whether it is their word, whether it is their behavior, whether it is their action, whatever it is, it's supposed to be an instructive lesson. When it's an instructive lesson, then you need to see that you're doing it right. How are you making your ruku? Are you making your sajda? Are you taking any shortcuts, you know, in making ruku or going into sajda? Are you doing it right, perfectly? How are you doing it? In our terms, imagine now, one murid is in line for khilafat now, right? And he knows now, any time is coming. So he's performing the couple of 2-3 days namaz. And he knows the sheikh is watching him also. How he'll perform the namaz? When he knows that he's in for khilafat at any time now. So he'll be extra particular. Won't he be extra particular? This is now coming up now. It's coming up, then I need to be extra particular. In Jamaat, and in the Jamaat, someone started Zikr al-Jahri. So, someone asked, "Ye kaun Zikr al-Jahri kar raha hai?" Maybe it was just before Fajr, you see. So, Imam Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah said it very nicely. He says, "Disko abhi tak ijazat nahi mili, wo Zikr kar raha hai." Hasn't yet got khilafat now, he's making zikr. You know, those who got the khilafat now, they're complacent. So what we are aiming for, we got it now. We don't have to strive. And those that are not there now, these are the things that we need to learn. And how do we carry on? What do we do? These elders of ours, and how did they look at life? How they observed, how they watched life, how they did, how they practiced. So everything, small or big, now you're watching. Now he's practicing archery, and mistakenly he got some woodwork, whatever it may have been, he got the woodwork. It was damaged a little bit. Now how he conducts himself? So he says to that owner of that place, allow us to repair the place, or at least allow us to compensate. Whatever you call the price, we will compensate. You name the price, you call the price, and we will compensate your loss. Now, that shows two things. See the istihzar of the akhirat. Before Allah is going to come up, the istihzar of the akhirat is before him. Only a person who's got the istihzar of the akhirat, he can do this. It's so strong. It's going to come before Allah Ta'ala, right? Hukukullah and hukukul ibad, before Allah Ta'ala, it's going to come up. Right? And it is the right of a person. So either I go and fix the thing up, or I compensate for the damage that I've caused. So he's got the istihzar of akhirat, he's got consciousness that I'm going to be called up for this. He'll do it. So that person was so overwhelmed, must have been perhaps a student of Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. So he said, how can you say such a thing? All my wealth is for you. How can you ever say such a thing? Now, then look at Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh's istighna now. He pulled out about 500 dirhams and he gave it out in charity. It's much more than that compensation. See, Allah Ta'ala will give according to your niyat of him. How you think of him, you will give. Now, we think in a very narrow way. See, you have to do some wheeling and dealing and get the thing right. So you think that you'll only get it through wheeling and dealing, then you'll get it like that, because you think like that. And if I don't do some wheeling and dealing, then I won't get it. What an accountant is telling me, you know, the first line that we learn in accounting is nothing comes for free. I don't know, one book was quoting. I said that law is flawed. It's not right. It's creating a concept. What is it doing? It's creating a concept. In Islam, there are a lot of things for free. Right? A lot of things for free. See, the grass and herbs that grow on their own is public property. Everybody can. So if you graze your sheep in a place where grass or herbs are growing of their own, it came for free. We have to pay for it. No, it came for free. Right? The water of a stream is free if you pay for it. No. I think up to 1965 or 64, this Dutch, you know, the Dutch was ruling this country here. They didn't charge for water. After that, 65, I think, 65, 66, then they charged a very small amount just for the services, you know, to provide the water. Then after about 80, 90, now they made it a business. But before that, it was free. Now, when they say nothing comes for free, so they're creating a mindset. To me, a lot of this concept and all that is shaitanic. You see, it's shaitanic. To create a certain type of a mindset in a person. So when you're creating a mindset in a person, so you're making him feel now, you know, you have to work for it. You have to work for it, and you must sweat for everything. So that means there is no such a thing like kindness. There isn't a thing like gentleness. There isn't a such thing like generosity. We talk of generosity, kindness, be kind, be considerate. We talk about it. So they say, you know, everything comes with a price. Everything comes with a price. And yes, and no, you know, we say we get it through compassion and the generosity of Allah Ta'ala. Don't we say that? And they say, no, you have to work for it. So then Allah Pak will make them like that. That everything that they earn, there's an effort behind it. And when we will say that we get it through the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, through the grace of Allah Ta'ala, then we will get it by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And that person will have to toil, have to sweat for it. And we will get it by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. You see the conceptual difference. The conceptual difference. What we say is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So you seek the grace of Allah Ta'ala, He will give it to you. However, wherever. One person saw a well at a distance. He's en route for Hajj, so he's seeing a well at a distance. Now, he sees that comfortably a deer is drinking out of it. The well, this thing is drinking out of it. So, that thing drank and it went away. Now, as he approached the well, the water level just dropped. So he complained to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I have no value in your sight. This deer has got a value, I got no value. For this deer, you raised the level of the water, and when I came, then the water level just dropped. So Allah Ta'ala's answer was, you see, this deer doesn't have a string, it doesn't have a bucket. It is thirsty now. How must it drink? It's got no well, it's got no bucket, it's got no string, no rope to lower the bucket, it hasn't got a bucket. Now how must it draw out the water? So I raised the thing, and I raised the level of the water in order for that thing to drink. Right? But you have got a bucket, you have got a rope, you can You can lower your bucket and you can get it out. But nonetheless, since you complain, so we'll raise the water level for you as well. See, all is generosity of Allah Ta'ala. Who paid for this? So nothing come for free. Who paid? So, see, the yaqeen is getting shifted. In their concept, the yaqeen is getting shifted. We sing the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Right? So the grace of Allah Ta'ala raised the water level. It raised the water level. These people did these stupid things, a lot of stupid things they did. Like, up till now, you'll find in these communist countries and all that, sometimes communist countries, sometimes these pro-Christian countries, what they will do is they will go to an orphanage, for example, right? And they will say to those orphans that, ask Allah Ta'ala for sweets and chocolates. So they'll ask Allah Ta'ala for sweets and chocolates. So, nothing coming. I'll say, all right, close your eyes. Close your eyes, blindfold yourself, put a hanky around your eyes. And very, very discreetly, they're going to put a chocolate in front of everybody. You know, everybody will put a chocolate and a sweet and all. And then in that, when they blindfold, say, now ask Christ for sweets and chocolates. Or they'll ask, say, big heart, big heart, big. They begged hard, they opened their eyes, see, we asked Christ, and we got it. Now they play games, you see. They play games and they convince people like this in the wrong way. So this is one way, this is another way. The materialist will make people materialist. And the one that is astray, he will lead people astray. He's astray, he will lead him astray. The materialist will make the person materialist. You know, everything must pay for it. Nonetheless, we're talking of this story. This person, then he proceeded for Hajj, and he met Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh. Yeah, and this is what happened in my safar. I came across this well, and this is what happened. Hazrat Junayd, rahmatullah, told him that, had you only been patient, then Pani ke chashme tere kadmo ke neete se phootte. There would have been streams that would have been gushing from your feet. But tumse sabr nahi hua. You weren't patient. The water level raised up. Had you been just patient? So what we are showing, how you draw from the treasures of Allah, patience, trust, hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, and you'll get your things happening. And when you see a delay, then it's not a delay because Allah Pak doesn't have it, na'uzubillah. The delay is because, are you fully focused? Like I was talking about this Bani Saf story, you know, and I branched off here. So this focus was incomplete. The tawajjuh was incomplete. Why the tawajjuh was incomplete? He's carrying tails. المفرقون بين الأحبة المشاؤون بالنميمة. Say it's a serious problem, very serious problem. And we don't consider that sin as sin. We don't consider the wrong as wrong. Small thing now, breaking up in friends, breaking up folks in the masjid. Now there may be one, how it happens is, there is one popular person in the masjid, right? So that popular person sometimes speaks to him. Now, this person is watching that this person is popular and he's speaking to him. Now, he's burning. Okay, there's an attachment of this person here and this person. Wealthy, very big, very, very, very big person, very influential, and he's got a liking for him. But he's not showing me that love. So, this person feels hurt. The type of love that he's showing this person is not showing me. That can happen. In a wealthy person, can happen even in a madrasa. The ustad is showing some liking for one student, some special attention, and the other student feels that I'm getting left out. He's getting all the attention, I'm not getting the attention. So when he sees that he's getting the attention, I'm not getting the attention, now he burns. Right? When he burns now, he needs to carry some tails, he needs to do something. Something he needs to do to give vent to his feeling. So sometimes he'll carry tails, sometimes he will pass some rumors, he will do something. See this al-mashaa'una bin namima, very, very serious thing, very serious thing. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed by the grave and he saw the inmate of the grave being punished. For what? For either not taking care of the urine splashes or carrying tails. Not worried about urine splashes or carrying tails. So it's a very serious thing. In the Khanqah, they read that hadith. The person used to carry tales about people to Usman radiallahu anhu. So Al Huzaifa warned him, that person is a Jahannami. Remember the hadith? Didn't remember? He's carrying tales to who? Usman. Al Usman radiallahu anhu has to run the country. So he has to know what's happening in order to do justice. But this person is taking advantage, he's carrying tales. Yeah, Usman radiallahu anhu is not wrong because he needs to administer. In order to administer, he needs to know the affairs. That is there any person that is oppressed, any person that is wronged in any way, I need to put things right. And this person now, what he is doing, he is carrying tails. He's got an occasion now to carry tails. Because Huzaifa radiallahu anhu warned him. But that person is a Jahannam, you see. See, it's such a serious thing. Sometimes it happens in a madrasa, sometimes it happens in a masjid, sometimes it can happen in a business, sometimes it can happen anywhere, even in a home. One person is getting all the attention and you see you're getting left out. So how to divert the attention to yourself? How to divert attention? Now, in the old, people were not so educated, but they had Islam in them naturally. They had Islam in them naturally. Now, one woman is just married and she came. In the old, they couldn't afford separate homes for each person, right? So communal living for 3, 4, 5 families, they're living one kitchen, they're sharing and they're carrying on, right? So now, it's a daughter-in-law, she just come in. She's new now, she's married and she came in, right? Money is tight. You don't have so much of money for Africa and all that, right? So you've got money and money is tight. Money is tight, everything is used correctly, budgeting everything so that whatever we've got must last for the whole year. Right. So they will store up things. They don't have fridges, they don't have freezers, so they will store up things. Like for example, now they've got ghee, that clay pot or whatever, you know, they used to have it in those days. They've got that ghee now. Now, ghee is a very expensive property, not a cheap thing. You prepare that thing, now that thing must last for the whole year. Now, this new daughter-in-law came in, and she has to reach out for that ghee. So, as she's reaching out for that ghee, that container slipped and fell, a big bust glass. It fell over some dirt. So, when it fell over some dirt, now you can't put ghee, finish. An expensive property, and her mistake, and the thing spilled, it bust and finished. Now this happened by the sister, the daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law just came in, and this is what happened. Right. Now, her sister-in-law, in other words, the mother-in-law's daughter, right? In English, so much of magajbari you have to make. So much of magaj mari have to make. So here, the daughter-in-law, she did this, right? So her sister-in-law. Sister-in-law is now is like the boss's daughter now. Right? So she's, after the boss, then she's controlling the reins, you see. So when this bust, right, there was a noise. So the mother-in-law wanted to know what's happened, right? So now let's look at the sister-in-law and look at how she controlled the situation. What she did was, in those days they were using coal stoves. So she just pulled out the ash, you know. And meanwhile, the mother-in-law came to see what happens. No, you know what happened? That ash, someone just dropped that ash. That was a noise. The ash just dropped. And there was evidence, circumstantial evidence, that the ash just dropped there, right? Understood. But now, it was a nice occasion to run down that new daughter-in-law. Because the sister-in-law wants a little bit of man. She wants a little bit more respect and recognition. And to show that this thing here you've got is stupid, you know. So put her in the place and my position is restored. My position, my respect is restored. And soon I'll push her down, smash her down. It was an ideal occasion, isn't it? But now you see, these people had deen, and they had deen like natural in them. It wasn't for them to find out how to do it. Naturally, nobody knows about it. Only years later, this daughter speaks about it. This is what my sister did. Imagine how deeply this favor was like implanted into her mind. Later, 40, 50 years, this thing died, you know. Then she talks about it. This is the mistake that I made. And this is how this one year covered me up. Now, this is Islam. See? When you talk of Islam alive, you know, this is Islam alive. Because Islam was in them. Islam was in them. You don't have to go and teach them everything. That is what they say. Buzurgo ke paas jaakar ke seekhne ki cheez unka zauk hai. Now, you don't have that zauk. Every small thing will teach you. Okay? Teach you this, teach you this, teach you this. That is because you didn't learn the zauk of Islam. And that's what I say. Mashayikh ke paas rehkar ke unki zauk seekhna hai. You're attentive, you're sincere, and you're concerned, then that zauk will become, you know, your taste will just, you'll just get the taste. It will just come in. See? But provided you are concerned, provided you are sincere. Sincere and you're concerned. Your mind is open, your heart is open. So you'll just get your thinking will just change. Your understanding will just improve. You'll begin to see things just naturally begin to see things differently. So anyway, what we're talking about, this Bani Israel story, you know. So there's no rains. The rains are withheld. And Allah Pak is telling them, see, the rains are withheld because there's one person amongst you that's carrying tales. So the Nabi is pleading to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, just point out that person, so that we can rectify the situation, either ask him to make Tawbah or separate the group. He'll be separate, then the rain will come. Right. So just show us now what's the problem, where's the problem, so we can rectify the whole situation. So Allah Ta'ala's answer was, main apne bando ko chugli se mana karta hu, aur apne bando ki chugli mein khud khao. I am asking my servants not to carry tales. Must I carry tales about my servants? I am asking you not to carry tales. And then I must carry tales. Nonetheless, now the Nabi is thinking what to do, because we need to get the rain. Livestock is dying, the crops are perishing. And then now what do we do? So the Nabi's thought now, the only other way we got is we'll separate one person. One person will be separated and we'll engage in dua. So when he's separated, then we got the reasons for the rain to come. See, when we're saying that, shikayat to iski hai ki kya tumhari tawajjuh khuda ki taraf taam hai ya nahi. Problem is this, that is your mind totally focused in that direction? Is there a deficiency in that regard? You are seeing that things are not happening, but is your mind totally towards Allah Ta'ala? Sometimes it may be a small thing that's holding back the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. See, the hadith says, "La tanzilu rahmatu ala qawmin fihim qati'u rahimin." One person and his severing relationship. Because of that one person's stupidity, everybody is getting affected. "La tanzilu rahmatu ala qawmin fihim qati'u rahimin." One person. So one person's stupidity and everybody gets affected. So it's such a severe thing. All these things, we take it as light, insignificant. But can you see the ramifications? How serious? So whilst this is happening, one person is being separated. Now that person understands, just now, meri badnami ho jayegi. Just now, I will be disgraced, because when they separate me and the rain came, that means I was the cause. So he pleaded to Allah, he begged to Allah, I'm going to correct all these things here. Who have I wronged? I'm making maaf for them. And now the rain came in. Now when the rain came in, so The Nabi is asking Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, وہ خوش نصیب تمہارا کون سا بندہ ہے جس کی وجہ سے بارش آئی. Who is that fortunate servant? Because of him, we got our rain today. So again, Allah corrected. He says, جب میرے بندے کے ساتھ جنگ تھا تب میں نے اس کی چگلی نہیں کھائی, جب صلح ہو گئی تو کیا اب اس کی چگلی کھاؤں؟ When we were at war, you know, he was carrying tales and we were at war with him. At that time, we didn't disgrace him, we didn't carry tales about him. Now he made the peace with us, now should we carry tales about him? See how much Allah Pak loves his servants. How much Allah Pak loves. Now can't we love the servants of Allah? When he is his servants, and he loves them so much. Like how we say in our colloquial language, you know, we love you to bits. Right? So Allah Pak loves us to bits. More than bits. We will love, you know, two bits, but Allah loves us more than two bits. When He loves, then if you want to show compassion and love to His servants, won't Allah love that? So, one simple way is to cover faults, don't carry tales, leave it out. If someone is doing that, then try and see how you're going to maneuver it. A man is a man, after all. He needs to maneuver, right? All right, this is happening here, this is happening here. How do I reconcile all the differences? He has to work out a story. And when he's going to work out the story, he'll reconcile. It's easy to say, oh, this woman did this, and that one that did, and that man did this. It's easy to say that. But the difficult one is, all right, they're doing this, and this person is doing this. Now, how do I maneuver the whole thing? And how do I patch it up? How do I rectify it? That's a difficult one. Now, you use your brains, you get it. Don't you get it? After all, we are all business people's children, aren't we? All our parents, grandparents, all the business people. And business person, what he does? He needs to market his product. If he's not selling one way, he has to sell it the other way. Yeah? He has to say chicken fillets, right? Then that thing will sell. Fresh. Chicken fillets. And then another marketing strategy will be, we got very, very little, limited stocks. You better take it now. So ہم تو بیپاری کے بچے ہیں, right? We are the children of business people. When we're children of business people, the business part he does, he markets the stuff. He gets the thing sold. He makes it work, isn't it? Whether the stock was redundant, not selling, but he'll make that some plan and get the thing sold. So can't we use the same business mentality for Islam, for our deen, to get these things working, right? Hey, this thing here, and how to reconcile the differences, what sawab I'll get. You think about the sawab, and what the reward I will get, and how do I work it, how do I make it work? Now you're not labeling the person, you're not disgracing him, you're not carrying tales. I think nobody knows about it, even your sheikh doesn't know about it. But you fix it up. How happy won't Allah get? Because he's man here, so many things he did, he didn't carry the tale, he didn't talk about anybody, he didn't gossip, he didn't disgrace, he didn't labor. But he got that thing down, he got that thing working so smoothly, and so beautifully got it working. Isn't that yato kamal ki baat? It's an achievement. But to go and see someone and tell this person, yeah, this person is doing, ek to tumhara qalb to mutasir ho gaya, dil ke upar kadurat a gayi, there was some dirt in your heart. Now the next person hears it, he also feels affected. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, that don't carry tales about my sahaba kiram. I wish to come and sit in your midst whilst wa'ana salim al-sadr, whilst my heart is clean. The Shari'in say that means that the household of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were so particular about this that they were not carrying tales at all of anybody. Why is saying that? They say, I want to sit amongst you and my heart is absolutely clean. That means in my home, my heart is totally clean. And I want that same to prevail when amongst you. So my heart is totally clean because my household don't carry these tales here. They don't carry no tales, no stories, nothing. We don't hear anything. Clean, clean. We're just talking about akhirat, yaqeen, khush karne ki cheez hai. Jo cheez hai, jo baat hai, aapko khush karegi. About yaqeen, about akhirat, jannah, jahannam. What about this person like that and this person like this? Forget it. Not running down anybody, not teasing, not mocking, not humiliating, not disgracing, carrying no tails. No. What a beautiful home. Really, this happiness in that home. This practicing the sunnah. No rebirth, no chugli, no carrying tails, no gossip, nothing. Absolutely. Talking, or you can cheer yourself, joke, nothing. As long as you're not running down someone, you're not humiliating, embarrassing someone, joke, what's wrong with that? But don't do the same. Rather, I say that people that go buy wimpy ice cream and eat, rather than carrying tails, that will work out cheaper. Really, really work out cheaper. I'm telling you, literally, it will work out cheaper. When I eat an ice cream, have a barai or something, don't carry tails, they don't care of anybody. It will cost you a little bit more to buy that ice cream or something. But on the long run, there will be happiness in the house. But the moment you carry tails, this person like this, that person did this, and this person did this, the happiness will leave you, definitely will leave you. Allah Bakhtofi Naseeb Kare. See, this, what I'm talking about, Guman. And how many levels? There's still about 3-4 levels, inshallah, from other 10. Allah Bakhtofi Naseeb Kare.